Hello, and thank you for joining the 47th episode of the Forkum Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen. As always, if you want to connect with the Forkum Podcast, can be reached on Twitter at Forkum Podcast or email us forkumpodcast@yahoo.com. Originally, I had planned for two episodes this week, but with the Labor Day holiday and the Montana game, it just made more sense to me to combine this week's episodes into one episode. Truthfully, there's not much to say about the Montana game. If it was a conference game with some common opponents, it would lend to more talking points, but it really is an outlier game that, in my opinion, does not have much bearing on the success of the season. Other than the NSU loss, I thought it was a really entertaining week of college football. The Florida, Utah, and LSU Florida State games are both very, very entertaining. Southland Conference was a mixed bag with some nice wins by HBU over Northern Colorado. Tremendous job by the Huskies on that one to go to 1-0. And UIW absolutely destroying Southern Illinois. I'll be honest, I didn't see that one coming, but they just took apart Southern Illinois. Both McNeese and Northwestern State got outclassed by the Montana schools, and Nichols struggled a bit against South Alabama. Lamar and Southeastern fell in some hard-fought games against Abilene Christian, UL Lafayette, and I thought both of them looked pretty decent in them. I wouldn't count any of them out. I think Southeastern had a lot of talent. Texas A&M Commerce had their expected easy win over lower division school. So all in all, not a lot to really get reads from after the first week, so I'm looking forward to giving us better looks at the teams. The Demons games with Montana, to me, was a mixed bag, just like the Southland Conference, in that it was both very encouraging, but also very concerning as we saw some old bad habits kind of creeping in. After the opening drive that Montana took for a touchdown, I thought the defense made some really good adjustments, and as expected, Shamar Bartholomew and the secondary played tremendous against a very talented receiving core of Montana, and really for the first half, I thought we kept that offense in check. We kind of had a bend but don't break, but when you look at how good Montana's been, and if you get a chance, just go look at some of their games from last year, and you'll see they went up and down the field on some very, very solid ball clubs. Offensively, compared to last year, I thought we looked much better, even though the stats don't really show it. Miles Fallon showed a command of the offense, and I was really impressed with him. He had a good pocket presence, just showed a lot more confidence than we've seen in that position in a while, so I was really happy with Miles Fallon. Excited to see what he can do. Montana's Patrick O'Connell was as good as advertised, and despite his constant pressure, I thought Miles Fallon got off some really good passes, and there were times when Miles Fallon would get the ball, and before he could even make his first read, he had three or four defenders in his face. So again, you know, you look at his stats, they weren't eye-popping, but I thought, considering what he had, it was really impressive, and he had two interceptions, but one of them was on like kind of a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, so I'm not going to blame him on that one, but you know, I thought overall, you know, he played really, really exceptional. And I'm, like I said before, I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring to the table. But offensively, and unfortunately, we had some old demons pop up, no pun intended. First, our offensive line was absolutely demolished by Montana. I did think our pass protection was better, but we got very little push in their D and ended up with 36 yards on 33 rushing attempts, which is just bad. To be fair, to that, though, it is an experienced Montana defense against an offensive line that's a work in progress with a new scheme and new coaches. So I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and reserve judgment, especially because, again, I thought our pass protection was way, way better than last year. We couldn't get a rush going against Montana, but it's Montana. They do that to teams. We're by far the only team they've ever dominated in the trenches. So, again, I'm not too concerned about it. I'm going to reserve judgment until we've played Grambling and Southern Miss and Lamar. And then if, you know, those problems still persist, then I think we have cause for a lot of concern. The other, and to me, more troubling concern was penalties. Every time we seemed to get some momentum or a drive going, a penalty would shut us down. We had a pass, I think it was in the first quarter, that would have been a really long pass completion. I can't remember if it was 17 yards, but it was pretty long. And it would have gave us first down, but then there was a holding penalty, backed us up, we had to punt. And again, I'm not going to reserve too much criticism, as I do think sometimes against a team like Montana, some of these penalties are out of desperation where you know you're about to get beaten, you know the quarterback's about to get sacked, so you just do whatever you can to protect your quarterback. And if you don't, of course, do the holding penalty, the pass isn't completed because your quarterback's in the dirt. I understand that. It's a very physical Montana team that did overmatch us. So, again, I'm not too troubled by it. It is concerning considering, you know, how far we are into the Brad Laird era that this is still popping up. But I'm willing, again, to give us the benefit of the doubt that this will be corrected by next week. Again, we're not going to face anyone the rest of the season near the talent and aggressiveness as Montana. Defensively, I thought we looked good until the team seemed to unravel in the third quarter. And I believe that the team having such little success in recent years that once the momentum just kind of swings against us and the pendulum goes the other way, it seems to overwhelm us. And I think that's going to continue until we get signature wins. It's we come out and I think we really do believe we can win any game. But once that adversity hits, it seems like we kind of go into a shell and almost play not to lose. But I thought, you know, I thought they played hard. I thought the defense played well. It's just only so much you can do. But I am optimistic, though, overall, watching that Montana game. I thought we looked much more cohesive than last year. And I really hope that people realize we competed with Montana much better than the score indicates. And I hope they realize that with 4 minutes left and a half, it was a 13-0 game that easily could have been 13-7. And I'm happy to see that. And the fact that we were in that ball game for that long is a huge improvement. There were years past we would have played this team and been down by 40 at halftime. We were in the game, and if it wasn't for a block punt and a couple little penalties, a missed assignment, blown tackle, you know, that could have been 13-7, and it easily would have been a one-possession game at halftime. Unfortunately, those that watched saw it was 26-0. And again, that's just those old demons, no pun intended, coming back to haunt us. Not going to dwell on Montana, as realistically their program is light years above anyone in the Southland Conference right now. Much respect and praise for Montana. They have a tremendous team. They're very well coached, well disciplined. Just the atmosphere they have can't be beaten. FCS, it really is a great place. You know, all respect to Montana. I take nothing negative from that game, from their team. They have a great thing going. I'm very envious of them. Hopefully Northwestern can build. In a few years, we can have that type of team, that type of program where, you know, we have the crowds, we have the domination on both sides of the line, and we go into every game expecting to win, and we go into every season expecting to make a national title appearance or at least compete for one. But again, we're a few years away from that, but really, really optimistic after that game. I thought we competed better in that first half than we have in a long time. So really excited to see what happens going forward with this Demon teams. But we're going to switch gears now. Put that in the past. You know, dwelling on Montana won't help anything. It was a game we knew we were huge underdogs. Put it in the past. If you're the Demon team, don't even look at it. I watch game film, learn from your mistakes, but move on quick. If you're a Demon player, your whole focus needs to be on Grambling now. So we're going to now look at the Grambling matchup. But before I talk about the G-Men, a quick word from our sponsor. Grambling State was absolutely crushed by Arkansas State this past week by a score 58-3 in a game that wasn't close and saw Grambling hail to 102 yards of offense. Much like Northwestern against Montana, it's really hard to get a read on the Tigers as the game was not close and Grambling really didn't look good at all in this game. However, like the Demons, they were outmatched, and I don't think Grambling fans need to panic just yet. With that said, I think it's a must-win for each team. For the Demons, I think a loss to Grambling would almost kill the season before it's done. You know, you have the fans coming in. This is a team that we should compete against, we should be able to defeat. But if we can, I think fan interest will decrease pretty steadily and pretty steeply. Likewise with Grambling, after us, they're going to travel to Jackson State. And of course, I think anyone that follows college football knows about primetime coaching them. They have the fans. They're getting, you know, the largest attendance in FCS right now. They've got national attention. Their games are getting national coverage on ESPN. They're on SportsCenter. They're on Fox Sports. So to say that Grambling needs momentum going into next week is an understatement, and to say this is a big game is an understatement as well. This is a huge game for both teams involved. I believe this game being in Shreveport presents a great opportunity for the Demons. I believe there are going to be some casual fans at this game because of the location and the opponent that have not seen the Demons in person due to recent struggles that I know from talking to some people I went to college with that pretty much stopped following the Demons around 2011, 2012. And they all said, hey, look, we're coming to the game. It's Grambling. It's in Shreveport. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to have some fun. We're going to see both bands. So I really do believe if the Demons can have a good showing, it can go a long way to healing some of those old wounds and winning back some of those fans that have departed the Demons in the recent struggle. So to me, this is the big game of the season. If we can win this, I think you're going to see a very good crowd come our home opener in a couple of weeks. Against Arkansas State, Grambling ran a 4-3 defense. I was particularly impressed with their pass rush. It reminded me a lot of what Montana did. Linebacker Joshua Reed was and is a very good player. He did a great job stopping runs that made it through the line on blitzes. He got to the quarterback quickly. He read the field well. Really looked like a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And you could see kind of shades of an NFL player in him in that game against Arkansas State. Despite not having a lot of success, he was a very big bright spot, and the Demons will have to prepare for him. Unfortunately for Grambling, there were a lot of bad angles, missed open field tackles, and blown assignments. That allowed the Wolves to drive at will against them. When the Tigers play good, they were really scary. There were times when they absolutely demolished the Arkansas State offense, but unfortunately for them, those moments were few and far between. I wouldn't expect a great offensive game from the Demons if the Tigers can fix their issues. I can see their speed and aggressiveness causing issues against us. I can see them using a Montana template. Now, when I say don't expect a great offensive game, probably worded that, I could have worded that a little better. By that, I mean, don't come into this game just expecting the Demons to put up 500 yards. It's going to take us playing really well to do that. This isn't a pushover team by any stretch. And again, if Grambling's defense can fix their issues, that can be a really, really dangerous and very chaotic defensive unit. With their speed, I see them trying to attack us much like Montana did. As such, it is imperative for us to establish a run game, get much more explosive line play, and stop committing penalties that wipe away great gains by our offense. If we can establish the offensive line and run, I think the recipe and potential is there for the Demons to have an excellent offensive performance. I'm excited to see how Miles Fallon performs in this game. This should be a better matchup for us down the line, personnel to personnel. Again, while I don't think this is a game you can say the Demons will definitely get 500 yards of offense, the potential is definitely there if we play within ourselves and play disciplined football. On offense, the Grambling Tigers run a hybrid offense that reminds me a bit of Chris Ault's offense at Nevada. Hugh Jackson with Grambling, however, unlike Nevada, Grambling doesn't run a straight pistol formation and utilizes the shotgun more times than not. But like Nevada, they do those quick slant routes, they do a lot of quick zone runs, they'll try and drop it deep on you. But again, if you look at Nevada under Chris Ault and look at this Grambling team, you'll see a lot of similarities between the two offenses. For Grambling, Chance Williams and Floyd Chalk are both very speedy running backs, and if our D doesn't play discipline and our linebackers are reading their own keys, they could present a lot of problems. If they hit the line and you don't tackle them, they're going to take what normal running backs would get 3 and 4 yards out of. They'll bust it for 10, 15, 20 yards, if not a touchdown. They're very, very quick. They have two talented quarterbacks in Quartarius Hawkins and Julian Calvez. As of me recording this episode, Grambling hasn't decided on one starting quarterback. They've been kind of doing both of them joint quarterback by committee, much like the Demons did last year. From what I saw, though, I was most impressed by Quartarius Hawkins. He's got a tremendous arm. He can throw it 60, 70 yards in the air without exaggeration. He had a pass, I think it was in the first quarter against Arkansas State, which I thought there was some interference on. but he launched it, and the wide receiver, if he would have had contact, probably would have took it for a touchdown. And a huge threat to the Demons defense is that wide receiver named J.R. Waters. He only had one catch for 9 yards against Arkansas State, but he has tremendous speed, and I believe Bartholomew Waters matchup on the edge could be a really fun and intriguing matchup in this game if they do get matched up with each other. This is not a bad Grambling team, just one that had a very bad game against an upper division opponent last week. And in no way are the Tigers an easy win or a team I think we should expect to win against. I fully expect the Tigers to play Demons very tough. Both teams have a lot riding on this game, and you can't underestimate the pride and tradition surrounding Grambling football. It's a national brand for a reason. They have tradition, and they have all of that history surrounding Grambling. It's going to be a tough one, and you know they're not going to come out in Shreveport in front of their fans against a local team without them playing their best ball. I expect a great showing from both bands, expect a great showing from both fan bases, and more importantly, a great showing from both football teams. My three keys to the game for the Demons. First off, no stupid penalties. We can't keep shooting ourselves on the foot. We did it last year. We did it year before last. We've done it for the last decade, really, where we have a good drive going and then a penalty just wipes it out. Have to play more disciplined football. Second, our offensive line has got to assert themselves. We got no push against that Montana defense. We have got to get a push. Give something for our running backs to look at. Give some holes for our running backs to get into. Give our quarterback time to make reads. And if we do that, I think we'll have a lot of success. And third, the defense must play discipline. Again, Grambling has a ton of speed. They like to do a lot of quick plays. If we don't play discipline, their speed can easily get 30, 40-yard gains, and it can ignite that team really quick. But if we play discipline, I think we have ability to shut them down, contain them, get them frustrated, and that'll lead them to making more mistakes. I do firmly believe this is the game the Demons can and should win, but we have to play good football to be able to do that. I firmly believe our season may rest on the results of this game. A win here will ignite us, ignite the fan base, and give us a good win over a local team. A loss, honestly, I shudder to think of what that could do for our team and our program with the loss. So I know it sounds like I'm being maybe dramatic, but I really do honestly believe this is a huge game for us, but one I believe we should win if we play the ball we are capable of playing. Around the Southland, UIW will travel to Nevada. Southeastern travels to Florida Atlantic in a very winnable FCS-FBS matchup. Lamar will travel to SMU. Houston Baptist takes on Lindenwood and a good chance to improve to 2-0. A game I'm highly interested in is Texas A&M Commerce travels to Tennessee Tech, their first taste of FCS action. McNeese will travel to Rice in a game their supporters are hoping convinces Conference USA to extend them an invitation. Make no mistake, their fans desperately want to leave the Southland Conference. But again, the more power to them. If they can do it and they think it's best for the program, then hats off to them. And another game that's very winnable FBS, FCS matchup is Nichols traveling to UL Monroe. That should be a fun one. Do wish UL Monroe would schedule the Demons again. I did enjoy those trips to Monroe. But with the slate of games on the docket, I do believe NSU and Grambling is the most intriguing matchup. In the other sports for Northwestern, the NSU cross country team opened up their season with a really good showing led by John Klein and Peyton Vidoric. Very encouraging to me is anybody's following NSU cross country. It's hit really rough times, I'd say since the early 2000s, and we've had a couple of soft rebuilds, but nothing ever seems to hold. Like, we'll do good for a year or two and then have about 5 years of just some really bad performances. And I'm really encouraged by what I see. Coach Mike Heimerman, I think he's doing a great job putting some emphasis on distance running. I think they're bringing some people in, and if the athletes are bringing in, then yeah, look at guys like Klein and Vidoric, who are both very talented runners. I think if we can continue this, I really see this massive rebuild paying off in another year or two. I think, next, if we can keep getting runners like Klein and Vindorik, 3 or 4 years, we could possibly be a contender in the Southland Conference, which would be really phenomenal. Soccer had a really good win Sunday, 5-20 against Grambling, and volleyball opened the season at 3-3. Soccer honestly looks poised to make a run at back-to-back titles, which is awesome. Kind of hard to get a read on volleyball. They do a lot of that tournament play, and there's a lot of a lot of just up and down play, a lot of scores that are hard to kind of digest through. But from what I've seen of volleyball and the limited amount I've seen, I think they look really good. Look to make a poise to be a contender in conference. But again, with volleyball, there's so many games. I think it almost takes 4 or 5 weeks getting into conference before you see really who the contenders and pretenders are. The NFL starts this week. Huge game in Shreveport, and hopefully next week will bring great news of a Demon victory. I will return to my usual fall format next week with a recap of Grambling on Monday and a preview of the Southern Miss game on Wednesday, as well as recapping the other NSU sports. I do appreciate you taking the time to listen. As always, have a great week, and as always, Forkham Demons.